I'm interested in a passage in Psalms 139 this morning and then again tonight. I'm interested in verses 7 through 12. David writing said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" You know, when you have somebody sing a song about the presence of God before a preacher preaches, then the preacher's going to preach on the presence of God, you'd almost think there's a Holy Ghost and a God in heaven trying to arrange something. Salve something in your heart this morning and say something to you. I'd be awful careful how I listened. He said, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." Here's an interesting statement. "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." I want to take this passage and another one tonight from this text and just leave you with this thought today. How great thou art. How great thou art. I've been reminded this Christmas season, oftentimes we get to thinking Jesus is just a baby. He's easily handled. We can take him out or put him up. I was reminded some time ago, I was in a service in North Carolina, and there was a young man got up to sing. Of course, he hadn't been saved very long. I took that into account. But he made a statement that I just could not leave alone when I got up to preach. He said, "I've been studying my Bible." And he said, "I've come to the conclusion that the Father created the worlds, and Jesus died for the world." He said, "Jesus didn't have anything to do with creation, and the Father didn't have anything to do with the dying." Well, when I got up there, I just had to address that, because that's a lie out of hell. Because the Father and the Son are one. The same one that died is the same one that threw the stars in space. Same one that threw the stars in space is the same one that died. The one that Mary held in her hands is a very God of very God. The hands that brushed up against the side of her cheek while she's nursing him is the same hands that flung the stars in space. One and the same. Of course, when the service was over, he was in my face. Wanted to discuss it. I tried from every angle I could try to explain it to him. I told him about Philip saying, "If you've seen the Father, you've seen me." Jesus told Philip that. Told him about what John said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I explained all that to him. Finally, after about 20 minutes of conversation, in a huff, he said, "I know one thing, I'll never believe that." He said, "In Genesis is when they created the world." He said, "Jesus wasn't born until Matthew." I'm here to tell you, he was in Genesis. He's in Exodus. He's in Leviticus. He's clear over in Revelation. He is the key to it all. One and the same. This one that David has written about here, "Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" This is Jesus that he speaks of. The same one that Mary held. Same one that died on an old rugged cross. Some 3,000 years before his entrance into this world, David is writing about that same Jesus. I want to preach this subject this morning on how great thou art. I want to preach to you on the all presence of God. The all-presence of God. You'd just be hard-pressed this morning to get away from God. Matter of fact, if you don't come tonight, it don't matter to me. You'll not get away from Him. Of course, what I'm going to preach tonight, if He's got a hand deliver it to you, it could be awful dangerous. I'd rather get it here than Him have to bring it to me. But you'll not get away from Him. He's hard-pressed to shake. How can I? He's everywhere. Watch what the text says about it this morning. I am confronted in this all-presence of God. His all-presence defined. It is here that David defines the all-presence of God. He gives us an amazing definition here. He says, whither shall I? All through this text, David has been using the personal pronoun up until now of me and mine. But now he gets very personal. He brings it intimately to himself and he begins to use the personal pronoun I and me. Begins to say, whither shall I? Not us! Not whither shall you? But whither shall I flee from His Spirit? Of course, whenever the Bible uses I, God is wanting to deal with self because that's what is at the center of all sin. S-I-N. It is what is at the center of all pride. P-R-I-D-E. Once one sees the bigness of who God is, if you ever see who the bigness of the baby Jesus is, you'll be confronted with your own littleness. When you're confronted with the significance of the living Christ, you will be confronted with your own insignificance. Once you're confronted that Christ, this baby Jesus, is all, you'll be confronted with the fact that you and I are nothing. When we see that He is righteous, we'll be confronted with our own unrighteousness. When we see that He is holy, we will be confronted with our own unholiness. Even you that are moral this morning, that have straightened up and straightened out, if you ever see the bigness of who Christ is, you'll see that your morality is even immorality in His eyes. Amazing definition. But to think this morning that He can be with me personally and individually and give me His undivided attention and act like there's none of you, there's only me, that blows my mind. He's got me convinced there ain't none of you saved anyhow. That got me convinced I'm the only one saved. Of course, I didn't know if you know it or not. There ain't going to be but one person in heaven anyway. Did you know that? Ain't going to be but one person in heaven. One person in heaven is going to be Jesus. The rest of us going to be in Him. Whoa! You go to handling that, that'll go to handling you. Whoa! Oh, that He could give me His undivided attention. His abiding presence never leaves me. Of course, if we make a big to-do about His abiding presence, it might turn into His manifested presence. Him not just show up, but Him show out. Well, how can you make a big to-do about somebody being there? Oh, you go to doting on them. Go to buttering their bread on both sides. You go to making a big to-do about it, and they'll go from just being there to making it clear that they're there. I'm talking about His amazing definition. John says that He abides in me, and I abide in Him. The writer of Hebrews says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So that I can boldly say,
The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do to me. Preacher, how do I know that I've hooked into this all presence of God? You'll know it if you find yourself with the fact that God can go nowhere. Did you know that? God can't go any place. We find ourselves oftentimes inviting God to come into a situation. When you do that, the devil and his imps punch each other and said, there's another one that don't know nothing about the all presence of God. See, it's impossible for God to go anywhere. How come? He's already there. It's hard-pressed to get the preacher to come to church this morning seeing he's already here. It would be nutsy for me to come over here and say, preacher, why don't you come to church this morning? He'd look at me like, where in the world are you flipping out? I'm here. So it is with God. When you invite Him into a situation, He looks at you and says, have you flipped out? I'm here. It's impossible for me to go anywhere. I'm already here. You get a hold of that, you kick a back end out of your choir row. Huh? Amazing definition. But I see in this text, there is an awakening definition. An awakening definition. He used two couplets in verse number 7. He uses the little word wither and flee. Those are couplet words in the original. They connect together. The other little couplet words is the little word spirit and presence. They are couplet words. An awakening definition. If we knew this morning that God is always present, it should awaken us. Look at that little phrase this morning. The little couplet, wither and flee. It is a picture of one that is looking all around. How come he's looking? Because he's fixing the boat. Well, who's he looking for? Looking to see if God's there or not. Sees God's not there, I'm getting out of here. Going to bolt. I know some of you say this morning, well, I know that's not talking about me. I'm here to stay. Well, I can identify with it. I can identify with the songwriter said that he was prone to wander. He's prone to leave the God he loves. I tell you, it wouldn't take much for God to crack a door this morning. I'm not going to run for it myself. Let Him turn the pain switch on just a little bit. I've noticed here lately, I've got a low threshold to it. I don't like it too much. Let Him intensify it a little bit. I might bolt myself. And David is a looking. He's a wanting to flee. He said, whither shall I flee? But watch the text. He uses the little couplet word, spirit and press. He's looking. He's wanting to boat. There's some of you here this morning. You're just in this thing a little bit. You ain't got too deep in it. There's a bunch of you here this morning ain't never gone past Sunday morning. You're just looking to boat. Why, you're looking right now for 12 o'clock, Lord God. Is he going? He's going, I know good and well he's going to last more than 15 minutes. You're right, I am. I'm a look in the boat. I'm a look in the boat. I got to get out of here. This is making me uncomfortable. Watch this text. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit and thy presence? Watch that little couplet word, spirit and presence. Bound up in that little phrase is an old Latin phrase, coram Deo. That's the little phrase. Coram Deo. It is a little phrase in front of or in the face of. Don't miss this. This is big. Jesus is sitting on His throne at the right hand of the Father. David said, I've been thinking about bolting. I'm going to run for it. He said, but I've come to this conclusion. Everything I'm doing is being acted out right at the base of His throne. And He's watching every bit of it. You say, preacher, it's dark. It don't matter. He can see you. If you knew God was watching everything you did, everything you thought, you think you'd change? I'd think you'd change in a hurry. Huh? You imagine sitting here in church this morning hoping I'd hurry up and get done and He's listening to your thoughts. That's scary. That's scary. Huh? Matter of fact, David said, this little phrase here, this little phrase, spirit and prayer. He said, I've been thinking about bolting. I've been looking all the directions. He said, but I've come to this conclusion. North, south, east, or west, He would meet me if I started to bolt. Suppose I got this idea. I've had it with church. I've tried this mess. It ain't working. I'm going to turn back. David said, if I turn back, here He comes to meet me. He's a-coming from that way. David said, I'm just tired. I'm wore out. I'm just about burnt out. I'm just going to take a break. I'm not going to quit coming to church. I'm just going to take me a rest. I'm going to turn aside. David said, when I started to turn aside, he said, here He comes. He's a-coming from that direction too. Maybe some of you this morning say, I'm just going to run ahead. I'm tired of how this is going. Run ahead if you want to. When you get there, He'll be there waiting on you. Oh, wait again. You can't invite Him to go nowhere. To come. He's already there. Oh, I wonder this morning, are you living your life like it's being lived out in front of Him, in His face? You say, no, I'm not, preacher. Regardless of whether you are or you're not, you are living your life in front of Him. There is the amazing definition, the awakening definition. Are you still here? Notice if you've got the text there, not only His all-present defined, but notice His all-present dominion. How powerful is this presence? I notice that He has, according to this text, a blessed dominion. Look at verse number 8. If I ascend up into heaven, I love that little word, ascend. It means to be caused to be. The little word is literally our word snatched. Gracious. David didn't even have no charts about the second coming. He didn't have any arrows going up and arrows going down. Little frilly dust. Thousands of years before somebody come along and made the second coming clear. David believed that one day he could be walking along and all of a sudden he'd get snatched. Man, that's interesting, isn't it? Did you know that could still happen today? He says here, if I ascend up in heaven, he said, if I get snatched up to heaven, hey, what will make heaven heaven? Because mama's there? God forbid. I hope my mama's there. My mama hadn't died yet. My mama has a good testimony of knowing God. But that ain't going to make heaven. Who gives a flip? Don't none of them make it. Huh? What's going to make heaven is if He's there. Oh, that's what will make heaven. I love what the old songwriter said. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place just to be there and look on your face will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, just to see His face, just to know that God's there in the person of Christ. Oh, what a blessed thought. But he goes on to underline and highlight this blessed dominion. Matter of fact, look at verse number 9. He said, if I take the wings of the morning, suppose you get the idea, you can fly. Just get you some wings. Take off. Watch the text. He said, if I take the wings of the morning. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even show it to you. Look at verse number 9. And dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. That little phrase, uttermost parts of the sea. Suppose I get out all my maps and chart out a boat trip and I sail. Not only is he going to be where I left, not only is he going to be with me while I go, but he says when I get there, he'll be waiting on the shore for me as I come on board. How the wolf he do that, preacher? He stayed over there. At the same time, he's over here going like this. He stayed there doing that whole time. He got on the boat, went with me. At the same time, he's over there waving. And at the same time, he, oh, grace, ain't that big? Oh, Lord God, that's good. Oh, yes, that's the all-present God. Whither shall I flee from my presence? Hey, there's some of you in here this morning afraid to fly. I see it on some of your faces. When I mention fly, some of you went, I can't be afraid to fly. Surely you ain't scared of little Arabs, are you? Blow things up. Where are they going to blow you to? Into his presence? I doubt that. Ain't going to blow me into his presence. No way. Be hard for me to be blown somewhere I'm already at. Hello? Huh? If he's going to heaven, I sure want to go with him. Huh? It would be a nut for me to get me a big old nuclear place underground and they blow the whole thing up, me the last one left. Huh? No. Some of you are afraid to fly. I don't want to upset you. I know I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. You're flying right now at 2,700 miles an hour. That's how fast we're orbiting. The Earth, 2,700 miles an hour. That's fast, you know. I ain't never flown in a plane go that fast. They usually only go about 300 or 400 miles an hour. Not, you know, not 2,700 miles an hour. Grace, and I notice none of y'all are in first class, and I notice ain't none of you got your seatbelt buckled. Huh? Lord God, 2,700 miles an hour, and none of you look scared at all. Oh, I'm telling us this morning, we're in His press. Oh, it'd be hard to get out of His presence. Oh, what a blessed dominion. Oh, but watch this text. Not only is there a blessed dominion, there is a bewailing dominion. Oh, this is a scary thought. Now, I don't know about you, I'll testify for you, but I don't have any problems believing that if I close my eyes in death and ascend up to heaven, He'll be there. I don't have any problem believing that. You have a problem believing that? I don't have any problem. But I tell you what, this part of it blows my mind. We would look for Him in heaven. But notice what David says in our text in verse number 8. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. That little word, behold, there, the little word that David uses there is a word for shock. Seeing something that you would not expect. If you was to choose to go to hell. And there's some of you here this morning just as sure as shooting, you're going to choose to go to hell. You'll choose to. I heard a statement years ago, B.R. Lakin made, and the first time I heard the statement, it just shocked me. Why in the world a preacher would make a statement like that? But after being around people and watching people in this world, the statement's true. Old B.R. Lakin said, aren't you glad God made a hell for people that want to go there? You know, there's some people by your actions, by your attitude, and by your appetites, it's very clear. You get bored at church very easily. One service will do you. Lord God, you wouldn't like heaven. It's more than one service. And there ain't going to be no Walmarts up there. No places for you to go. And hey, there ain't going to be no balls to throw up there. Oh, you'll be bored up there. Aren't you glad he made hell? But watch this text. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, it's a word of shock. But watch the text. Thou, look at verse 8, art there. Did you notice the little phrase, art there? Look at it in your Bible, art there. Did you notice it's in italics? It's in a different print than the rest of your Bible. Did you notice that? That means that it has been added by the English writers so that it'll flow good. David said, if I make my bed in hell, shock now, be hell! Bow! That's what the text says. Not his presence, not his essence, not a feeling that God's there. David said, if you choose to go to hell this morning, he said he'll be there throughout eternity, right there in hell with you. Do you think he's going to come to comfort you? No. I've been thinking and I've been meditating. How is God going to be in hell? You and I know if he is in hell, this ain't going to be no thing. You know, I'm going to get you out here after a while. Once you get done, I'm going to... No, it's not going to be that kind of... How is his presence going to be in hell? And I got to thinking, do you remember those soldiers that day that blindfolded Jesus before they crucified him? Smacked him all around. Remember that? They asked him, tell us who smacked you. They wanted him to prophesy. But you know, I believe there's another reason why they had him blindfolded. I can't help but believe. Some of those soldiers, those eyes were bothering them. I said, man, them eyes look like they could look right through me. So like they could read my mail. I can't even know me intimately. If you choose to go to hell this morning, by your actions, by your attitude, by your appetites, right now it looks like you're headed there. I want you to know this morning, you'll never get away from those eyes. They'll look at you through eternity. Piercing. I wonder if some of those soldiers said, man, I can't stand to look at those eyes. Every time I smack him, those eyes say, I love you. I love you. Wouldn't it be terrible this morning you burn in eternity, all throughout eternity in hell, and a pair of eyes keep looking at you saying, I loved you. I loved you. I did everything I could to make sure you could go to the other place. But you chose by your actions, by your attitudes, and by your appetites that you didn't want to go to my other place. You wanted to come to this place. But I loved you. I loved you. You can't get away from the presence of God. You can't invite God into your presence. God is already there. His all-present dominion, his all-presence defined. Could I mention this little thought? And we'll bring it to a close. His all-present directing. Verse number 10 says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Hey, sounds like to me he's talking about both of his hands. Gracious. Do you realize if you're a child of God this morning, in God's sight, you're a whopper? Take two hands to handle you. Whoa. Oh, my. He says here, watch the text. We're talking about his all-present directing. I notice there is a hallowed hand. He says in verse number 10, even there shall thy hand lead me. David said he's got his hand on me. I was wondering this morning, do you have absolute assurance with no doubts this morning God's got his hand on you? You can sense. Preacher, I don't know much, but I know this. God's got his hand on me. And I can tell when he needs me to go somewhere. I can feel just his gentle tug telling me which way to turn, which way to go. You won't go down no dead-end streets. Oh, no. You won't go down and say, oh, my word, I wish I wouldn't have gone. I wish I wouldn't have took that job. I wish I wouldn't have married them. Gracious, that's the stupidest thing. No. Got the hand of God on you. Don't lead you down no dead-end street. Hey, take everything I got. Take my house. Take my wife. Take my youngins. Take my grandyoungins. Leave me with the clothes on my back. But don't take a hand of God off of me. Oh, don't take the hand of God off of me. Do you... I'm not asking if you're saved this morning. Lord God, no, I ain't asking you to save this morning. I'm asking you, do you know you got God's hand on you? If you do, He'll lead you wherever you need to go. You will not go down no dead-end streets. None of you girls will have to be sitting, I don't know whether I ought to marry him or not. I don't know if I ought to marry her or not. I just can't make up my mind. I just don't know what... I don't know if I ought to go to college or not. I don't know what I ought to study. You won't have to do none of that. You got the hand of God on you. He'll direct you where you need to go. He said, His hand leads me. But watch this. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show it. We're talking about His all-present directing. He says here in the text, in verse number 10, and thy right hand shall hold me. Son, you're so kind. I know you wouldn't mind. Help me this morning. He says that He's got His hand on me. And He says that He's holding me with His right hand. Did you notice that? It's sort of like this. Gracious, that looks like dancing to me, don't you? Oh, Lord God. Old Buren Hasten, thanks. Old Buren Hasten, old preacher up in North Carolina, he's dead now. He said it's all right to dance with your wife at the house if you pull the shades down before you do. I was wondering this morning if God's got you in a dancing position. Because I tell you what, if He does, He's a-fixing to dance you right on to a marriage. Y'all are fixing to kick up gold dust together. Whoa! Lord, don't take your hands off from me. I want you. He ain't putting His hands on nothing that's dirty. He ain't putting His hands on nothing that ain't clean. Oh, His directing hand. One more thought. I'm done. Ain't that what the preacher always says? His all-present delight. His all-present directing. His all-present dominion. His all-present define. Last little thought. His all-present delight. There is a delightful darkness. Look at verse number 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. I wonder if some of you this morning, if the devil is trying to get you depressed, cloud you over with darkness, could he put enough of darkness on you to hide you from God this morning? You ought to be delighted at the dark. There's some of you young people, your mom and daddy don't even know it, but you're sneaking around in the dark, doing some things. You ain't snuck away from him. He went out there on that back road. Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't invite him to go. You didn't have to. He's already there. He got there before you got there. He watched it all. Delightful darkness. Do you find the dark a delight? Do you find that if the devil is hanging a lot of darkness on you, you can say, devil, you can't hide me from God. Surely the darkness will cover me, the delightful darkness. But I notice in this text, the delightful light. Look at verse number 12. It said, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The devil couldn't put enough of darkness on you to hide you from God. You couldn't get in enough of darkness and hide away where nobody can't see you on a back road to get away from God. God knows it all. I love what the old poetic writer said. Darkness and light in this agree. Great God, they're both alike to thee. Thine hand can pierce thy foes as soon through midnight shades as blazing noon. You know what it wants me to, makes me want to do when I think about God's always there? I can't get away from His presence. It makes me want to do this. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.